Hey, we got one of my favorite people, man. You gonna give it up for yourself? Hey, can the back, can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear us in the back? How about now? Still no. It's tough. All right, we gotta be loud, bro. We gotta go home tired tonight.
Got you.
We gotta go home tired tonight. Okay. Bud's my guy. Something I appreciate about Bud is I think we live in a culture, at least I do sometimes, where we kind of are always changing who we are based on the environment that we go into. One of the things I admire about Bud is Bud. Like, he's just Bud, and he's going to be himself, and I think there's just a confidence and a security that you have in and about yourself that's just different from the world, and yeah, man, so I just appreciate that a lot about you. Bud participated. We did a little small group in my house this summer, and before the baby came, and then we just stopped all spiritual growth. I'm just kidding. But Bud led one of our summer sessions, and I was like, bro, you got to come talk to our group, because that was amazing. So we're just going to kind of talk tonight. I'm going to ask him a little bit about his story, and just, yeah, man, be ready to plug in and listen to what he's got to say. I'm excited. So can you hear me, though? Are we good? All right, I'm trying. I am going to be tired. I'm not going to be able to talk tonight. All right, but just tell us a little bit about yourself first. Where are you from? How you got to Columbia, Missouri? That's the question. How are we all in Columbia, Missouri?
Okay, so I'm from Denton, Texas. For those of y'all who don't know, it's about 35 minutes north of Dallas. Home of the Mean Green, UNT. But
the Mean Green.
Right. So I came here, I played football here from 2010 through 2014. How I got here, honestly, it has to be God's work because, for one, I hate the cold. I hate it. I go outside, I'm mad in the morning, I'm mad at night. But honestly, no, like just, and we'll kind of hit on some of these points and how some of y'all got here. You knew you could have checked out 5 other schools, but you came here and something was there where it was like, I'm at peace with this. Like, if I were to choose today to go here, I'm at peace. However, if some of you are in this room and that's not you, that's okay too. But understand that you're in this room probably because of this message tonight. And to now move forward with feeling and moving in that faith, right? So
it's really good.
That's kind of how I got here in a nutshell, I would say. But had some amazing years here with my teammates and just some very successful football years. I was very fortunate to be on those teams, and we'll kind of hit on some points like that as well a little bit later in conversation.
So. Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So you played 5 years here,
yep.
Right? So your first 4 years were pretty good. First 3 years you kind of grinded, and then fourth and fifth year. Fifth year really took off. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about it.
How many of y'all have redshirted? Isn't that tough? Hey, they had me thinking I was trash. I came from a nice powerhouse football team. Seriously, from back in Texas, I'm like, I get here, I watch the first practice at 7:07 during the summer. I'm like, oh, I'm about to play ASAP. And season came around, they threw their red shirt at me, and I was like, man, why? Like, how? You know, and I'm watching who I'm competing with and against, and every day in practice, I'm like, God, I don't know what else do I need to do? And then so the next year, I'm finally able to play as a redshirt freshman. I could probably count on both hands how many times I actually played in the game. And then the second year I had a chance to play, I could probably count again on both hands how many times I actually played. And then the honestly, the year where we went to the Cotton Bowl, had a great year, SEC East champs in 2014. I have played a small part, honestly. Like, I had some plays in there that are monumental, but I've honestly played a very small role in what a lot of people did amazing things on that team. So in my senior year, it just so happened to pop when, you know, I was able to stay healthy and somewhat healthy enough to play, I guess, and make it through a season and put up some good numbers. And that's what a lot of people see today. So if you see pictures on the wall and everything like that, that's what people see me as. And they don't see me as, honestly, 4 years of being a student athlete, but really not getting any clock, really not getting any action on the field, and just kind of going through the motions with a lot of things in life. So
that's good. Yeah. I feel like we tend to glorify the product, right? We love to look at the finished product, but you're saying there's a whole process to get to that point, right?
Very much so.
So tell me about what happened next. How are you feeling after you had a great year? You're thinking I'm league bound.
Yeah.
You feeling the way you thought you feel?
No. So I felt a little, everybody's here to achieve something great, right? Mm-hmm. Honestly, I wanted to be remembered. That was one of my goals. That was on my goal sheet that I would write every year, is before I left here, I just felt like there was way too many opportunities as a student athlete to be prepared. And by the time I got my chance, that I needed to leave a mark here. And so that's what you see on the walls, is that everything just being built up. Like, when I leave, I don't want to be forgotten, because it's very easy, to be forgotten in this space, because we're all really, really good athletes. Mm. So it was something I just tried to do, and I was reaching for, and that's what I wanted. And honestly, and then I had one of the best seasons a receiver has had, probably since Jeremy Maclin, Denario Alexander. But I wasn't fulfilled. Mm. You know, I was looking at players like Amari Cooper and other players across the country who were balling, and I was right there with them, you know, but they were getting this crazy recognition, right? I was like, how are they getting this recognition? They got the combine invite. I know y'all see that on TV every year, the NFL combine. People were getting invites to all-star games. I had no all-star game invites, so I was just wondering how I'm matching up statistically with certain people that are going to be very high recruited or high drafted players, but I wasn't getting the same treatment, right? So, I mean, it just wasn't fulfilling once you reach, like, oh, okay, I did as good as I possibly could, but now I'm here and I still feel the same.
It's like this sense, like, you always want something more, right? Like, I got it, but then right when you get what you thought you wanted, there's something more. There's always one level up.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So from that, we were talking the other day, you were talking about how that changed your perspective on a lot of things moving forward. Yeah, just talk me through some of those things.
It's something that we focus on, I think, a little too much as athletes, is how to constantly be better than we were. I know this sounds a little weird, because you want to be better than you were last year, right? Mm. You want to get better in every season of your life. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't chase greatness. Don't try to be great. But it's like, what are you kind of dismissing in your pursuit of greatness? Mm. And I think a lot of times for me, I pushed a lot of people away in my life that honestly probably shouldn't have been pushed away. Because when I felt anything was getting rocky with you and I, you got to go, because I'm trying to be the best athlete I can be. And a lot of times you throw a lot of people to the wayside because you have this thought or image of what you should be as an athlete, and that everything will all of a sudden fix itself when you become this great athlete.
Hmm.
And it doesn't. And when you look back on it, it's a lot of burned bridges. It's a lot of friendships that you have to, you know, kind of rekindle or kind of patch up and fix up a little bit in order to continue to move forward. So
I think that's one of the things I appreciate about Bud, is Bud lives his life kind of for other people. Like, you are, you need the water because we're talking so loud. Bud lives his life thinking about other people. And I think that even that's what you're saying, is when you're focusing on you and I'm focused on accomplishing my dreams, my stuff, there's still this kind of sense of like, still kind of empty inside, like, yeah, it's not what I wanted. Even in that, you said you started to feel this kind of like, I'm still not fulfilled. At that point, kind of what changed there? Or what was, I remember you saying you had this moment kind of where it's like, man.
It wasn't, honestly, it was, we reach a certain level and we start to see what that certain level grants us access to. And a lot of, I know for me, senior year, playing very well, I had access to a lot of things. And being on a successful team gave me even more access. And after being done playing, like, I still wanted that access. Mm. Like, I wanted to, like, why am I not able to go here anymore? Why am I not able to get these, whatever it is, like, whatever it may be, like, that access was all of a sudden starting to be denied, slowly but surely. Mm. And
you lost your clout a little bit?
Yeah. Low key. Yeah. High key. So I was working for PepsiCo probably a year and a half after I was done playing. And I ended up in this program. They have like a campus hire program, fresh out of college, whatever. And I was just in Springfield, Missouri. Anybody know where that's at? Woo, it's tough.
You don't want to know.
It's tough. But so I was just, one day I was just working, and you go through phases where you got to be a salesman for a short period. You have to work in the warehouse for a short period. All these different areas of PepsiCo, right? Mm. And so one night, it was about 11:30, midnight, and I'm in a grocery store, honestly, just stocking soda on the shelf. And I was sitting there like, God, what am I doing? Just a year ago, I was the guy. Hmm. And now I'm in my blue khaki uniform and I'm stocking soda. Life has changed completely. And I'm like, this cannot be it. I didn't go through all of those days, all of those hard nights, whatever it may be, to get here and start stocking soda. And honestly, that's no shade on anybody who's in that role. But to me, I was feeling like, okay, what? I know this isn't me. I know it wasn't. And I kind of felt like this is what I deserve for kind of going the money route, right? So I ended up in that space because money was good. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go here so I can still have access to the things I want to do. I still want to fly everywhere, still want to travel, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until one of those nights, I mean, just it took me to my knees, honestly, where I was just in my home by myself, had a really nice loft, you know, like the windows probably like this right here, looking out, and just kind of like the movie scene, right? So it's all the way down, cuts across, and I'm like, this is cool. Like, the spot is cool, but I'm empty instead, inside. Mm. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just in my closet, and I'm just on my knees. I say I'm in my closet, but my closet was big. So, but it was a space where I was just like, I have all this stuff, and I'm on my knees like, God, please, I need you to hear me today. Hmm. Not even today, but right now.
Wow.
And, you know, tears falling, the snotty nose, that nasty cry, you know. But it was like, God, please get me out of this space. Get me out of this, because it was my mental space. Hmm. You know, it's like I'm battling with myself day in and day out on who I am and what I'm supposed to be. But I knew I needed to call on him, but I didn't want to call on him because I was just like, I want the money. I want stuff. I don't want to call on you yet. But that day, that night, it brought me truly to my knees of just like, okay, I can't do this by myself any longer. Mm-hmm. So I asked him to come into my life and truly guide it and be the head honcho in my life, to where, you know, anytime I step off track, I know how to get back to that space of like, okay, God, like, my bad. Like, I'm supposed to go over here. You're right. You're right. So
tell me a little bit more about that. Just that feeling like I can't do this by myself. Cause I feel like we've all come to a spot in our life where like, man, I need something at least. Like, I can't do it by myself. So yeah, what was that like for you, or how does that even play out now?
I mean, because just like people have mentioned already today, like, we didn't get here by ourselves. Right. We needed a support system somehow, whether it was 50 people in your community, or two people in your household, or one person, the man from down the street, or the old lady from down the street, whatever it may be, we had somebody. And in this particular case, I knew that you know, something I kind of skipped over earlier, which I kind of wonder why I'm still here today. Like, I was drafted by the St. Louis Rams in 2015. And after 3 days of being there with the team, my medical results came in and showed that I had a heart condition. That heart condition stopped my career immediately. So it was a great high. I was the first one to graduate college in my family. Now I'm being drafted. I was definitely the first person to be drafted in my family to the NFL. But so everything's looking on the up and up. And, you know, so then all that's gone, right? So in that time frame, I knew then that I was taken care of. I didn't want to, but I knew. I knew right then and there I was taken care of. And sorry, I'm kind of getting off track with the question, but that's kind of when I started to notice that we have a lot of support here as a student athlete. It's a lot. And sometimes y'all are annoyed by how much is actually there for you, right? Like, man, they stay calling me. They want me to come in and do my resume, you know, stuff like that. But when you get outside of this space and outside of this Mizzou bubble, it's hard to find a group like this that's going to be there for you, supporting you. And that's one of the toughest things, is knowing that you got to move on and know, like, who do I have to depend on now? Or who do I have to support me now? And that's when I was really realizing that, you know, without God, I can't do nothing. I can't do anything. And you hear some people kind of teeter-totter on the edge of saying who their support system is. Some people say, you know, the higher power or some human being or higher being, wherever it may be. I call him who he is, and I call him God, you know. And I believe that fully, to say that's how I got here. That's how I was able to stay and stand on my feet. It wasn't because of my own willpower, but because I was truly being lifted and just placed up. You know how you do your little baby? I'm sure when you're at home, you just kind of walk her a little bit. That was kind of how I was, right? So that's where my support truly came from, and my knowledge of knowing I needed support came from.
That's good, bro. That's really good. If you had one encouragement to us tonight, what would you leave us with?
To walk in your faith, embrace where you're at in your walk.
That's good.
Because I know sometimes for me, when I was here at Mizzou, and I didn't want to come, it was FCA at the time, but I didn't want to come all the time, because I was like, man, I'm really about to go to FCA, go in here and put on this mask and full body suit of somebody y'all think I am.
Right? Full body suit. Full not body even the mask, suit. Bro,
not
the
even
whole
just
thing.
A mask. I'm going to go ahead and jump in this body suit. Right? But I didn't want to do that. So I was just like, I knew that that was right. Honestly, deep down inside, I knew that the stuff that I learned in FCA, the relationships that I would build in FCA would be best for me, because it's how I was raised. Not just because of how I was raised, but that's what was on my heart. But I also knew that, like, man, I feel like I'm living a double life, right? And I was like, I don't want to go there and then come out into the world and not be up to everybody's expectations who was in this space. And what I mean by that is, and what I've realized now at this place in my life is, you know, honor your walk. You don't have to match somebody else's who've been saved for 8 years and have been, you know, everything looks like, okay, they are the perfect Christian, or they are on level 88 of Christian life, you know, and I'm on level beginner, whatever. Like, you don't have to think of it that way. And I would say, because it causes you so much, like, you miss out on so much joy that God had for you, and just a release of just peace is what I should say. So a lot of my college career, I went through it with just so much anxiety and worry, because I was not in alignment with what I truly felt in my heart. And because I wanted to fit the cultural norms and the Matsy norms, or, you know, Mizzou norms, whatever it is, and I kind of put my faith to the side. Mm. And so when sport left and a lot of things left, that was hard to kind of bounce back from. But I encourage y'all to walk in this, what y'all are doing now, and honor your walk wherever it is that you're at. Because guys, like Eric said, God loves you where you're at.
Yeah,
amen. Right? Y'all don't have to be somebody special or crazy, like crazy for God only to get his love. Mm. Right? And so I would say honor that, because there are going to be trials and tribulations that you come into or run into down the road. And one thing that I just hate I didn't have at that time was full faith that God had me.
That's right? Good, bud.
So when you are in this walk, you know when something comes up, like, okay, it's a trial, but I know God got me. Mm. But when you start getting really, really far away from him, it's hard to truly believe that. Mm. So when stuff really starts to come and hit you in the mouth with life, like, you want to be attached to the source, right? Mm. And this is what I have. You know, I have a little...
I was waiting for the source. I was trying to set you up.
I have a little piece, right? So, this is a charger, right? And I think this is an amazing representation of everything we want, right? Is right here, in between. And every day, I'm sure this is sitting on y'all's desk or countertop, wherever you go. This is plugged in somewhere. And this piece right here, I think for everybody, we need to make sure it's plugged in to God. Mm. Right? And not only is it plugged into God, but just imagine like 1,000 of these just dangling. And whenever you truly know that, okay, I need to be replenished. I need to be refilled. I need to be restored. I need to be recharged. Just like you go home and recharge your phone, your AirPods, your whatever kind of batteries that you have, shoes that light up, all that stuff, you're going to tap in, you're going to charge that. Mm. So I say to y'all, like, y'all continue to plug this into yourself, right? And really tap into God. Mm. And continue to tap in. And it is hard to do it every day, but you're drained by the end of the day.
Yeah.
If you're really putting your faith out there and having to walk in faith, because it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, life is hard. So I encourage y'all to truly tap in as much as y'all possibly can and recharge yourselves.
That's really good. Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
Can we give it up one time for my guy, bud? Thank you.